Do the emails of a former Walker aide that were released last week contain anything that could damage Governor Walker politically? We will talk with a political scientist about the potential political fallout, and we'll welcome your questions and your reactions as our State Capitol report continues in this half hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, February 24th. So what do you think? Is all of this old news, as Governor Walker said it was yesterday on Fox News Sunday? Is it a snoozer, as the website Politico said it was? Are Democrats trying to make a mountain out of a molehill? They say that this is like Governor Christie's Bridgegate. What do you think? Do you expect Governor Walker to answer as to what he knew about county workers using a secret computer system and doing campaign work on taxpayer time? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Happy to have with us Dennis Riley, a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being on the show. So what is your take on all this? Are these emails a big deal, politically speaking, or not?
Well, it's going to be awfully hard to say this far out from the next election, but it's quite an interesting list of media outlets, including us, that have decided it's worth talking about at least for a few minutes. I mean, there's been an article in the New York Times, fairly long article in the New York Times. The governor was on Fox yesterday, NBC News, The Progressive, National Public Radio. Sean's report the other day was picked up by NPR.
Mm-hmm.
The Manchester Guardian has an article about it, the American version of it, but nonetheless. So somebody thinks it's worth at least commenting on and putting out before the public. I certainly understand the governor's vision that it's old news, because he has to say it's old news. And it has been kicked around before, and I don't recall it getting this much attention when it was kicked around the first time.
Here's my thought on the old news thing. Everybody didn't have the opportunity to see what was in these emails, and while the governor has not been criminally charged with any wrongdoing in the campaign work on county time charge, we don't know if he knew it was, you can not be criminally charged and still, there could still be some wrongdoing. Isn't that right?
There could be, and even if there is no wrongdoing, if there's a public perception that something was going on and that he wasn't managing it particularly well, then that could come back to haunt him in a way. I don't think it's coincidental that the Republican Governors Association is paying to run its anti-Mary Burke ad 3 and 4 and 5 times a day up in our market anyway.
Yeah. Well, you think that's connected to divert some attention from the emails?
I think it is. Mm-hmm. This is a little early to be hitting her that hard and that consistently. This campaign is very much under the radar, except for that. I mean, who's really talking about it and saying, boy, this is really an interesting campaign, but they are running these negative spots over and over and over again. It's only one spot, but they just keep running it and running it and running it. And so I don't think they're worried, but I think that they are taking notice of the emails and think, well, it's not too early to begin to try to take our opponent apart, so let's get going on that.
Well, I played this clip with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, in the first half hour, but let's, for those listeners just joining us and for you to react to it, let's listen to Chris Wallace questioning Governor Walker yesterday on the emails and what he knew about this secret computer system.
Question, if county workers were doing nothing wrong, why should they be using a private email account?
Well, but that's exactly to my point. You had a Democratic district attorney spend almost 3 years looking at every single one of those communications, interviewing people, talking to people, and closed the case last March.
Did you know it was a private email account?
No, again, it's one of those where I point out the district attorney has reviewed every single one of these issues.
But, sir, you're not answering my question.
No, because I'm not going to get into 27,000 different pieces of information. The bottom line is a Democrat who led the district attorney's office looked at all this, decided not to charge anything other than the individuals you mentioned who are not who are people who had worked for the county in the past but don't work for me today. I think that's pretty straightforward.
So is that straightforward, Professor Riley?
Well, I certainly don't think it's all that straightforward. I mean, it's an evasive answer, but it's the evasive answer you'd expect from him. If he does start to go down the path of talking about individual paragraphs in some of those emails, then where does he stop going down? Where does he put his foot down and say, you know, no more? Because as soon as you start down and then you put your foot down, somebody says, oh, there must have been one more, and it's right where your foot was going to go next. So I'm going to check it out. And, you know, it's going to get more scrutiny than it got the first time around because all the stuff is out there to actually be combed over. And again, you're absolutely right. They may never find anything. Certainly the district attorney found nothing on which to indict Governor Walker or pursue that legal avenue. But it's going to be talked about a lot more than he would like to have it talked about. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's something he's got to worry about, but I don't think he's going to obsess about it. I think he'll just try to pretend it's not there.
So Democrats are comparing this to the bridge scandal involving New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Is that a fair parallel to draw?
I don't think that holds up, no, because as much as we have laws about campaigning while you're on the public payroll and all the rest of that, I don't think anybody sees that on a par with somebody actually creating a dangerous and disruptive traffic jam for political reasons that still aren't fully laid out. And I just don't see it on the same level. But it's, you know, it is interesting, and I suspect that a lot of people are looking at Walker so closely because Chris Christie's in the news and because his problems with his staff and emails and all the rest of it look similar, even though the consequences for their constituents was really very different. Nonetheless, they look similar on the surface, and so the more we focus on Chris Christie, the more people bounce back and say, well, let's take another look at those Walker things. So I think he's the comparison I don't think is really fair, but it's going to be made on one level or another, and it's going to Christie's troubles are going to in some way generate more scrutiny for Scott Walker.
We have lots of callers, so let's, Dave, who's been waiting since our first half, Dave in Wanakee, what's your question?
Well, I don't think Scott Walker was telling quite the whole truth when he said that that the Democratic district attorney had looked at every email, because I don't think that Scott Walker's laptop was subpoenaed. And I think that you know, if they really wanted to look at the whole story, they should have got that as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was subpoenaed or not. Do you, Professor?
No, I'm not at all certain what was subpoenaed. But that seems like a strange omission. I mean, if they want to find out if the governor was directly connected to this, then check that out. But whoever was in charge, and I've even forgotten now who the Democratic district attorney was, probably did a fairly thorough job, but very likely figured out or decided quite early that Walker was not indictable, and so let's put the energy on the people that we're going to charge with various crimes.
Yeah, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial said that Governor Walker must answer questions raised by these emails, and the question that Chris Wallace posed to him was, did you know that there was this private email account? He wasn't asking him to go through 27,000 emails.
Right.
Does the governor have to answer at least that question?
Well, legally, apparently not. Mm-hmm. But politically, could very well be that he'll someday be pushed hard enough that he'll feel he has to answer that. I think right now he's pretty convinced he can deflect it by just simply tossing out, you know, this, there's all these emails. I got rid of the, you know, six people were indicted and convicted and all that. So it's over, you know, it's over. And he'll keep saying it's over. I don't know if he can get away with that. I think he thinks he can. Either he thinks he can, or he thinks that's the only path he has, that there is something to hide, and he's got to, you know, stonewall to keep it hidden.
Well, the governor certainly has his supporters and his detractors. How is this? How is his play of this story? It's over. It's old news. I'm not answering any more questions about it. Let's move on. How is this going to potentially affect the race for governor?
Well, I don't. You know, it's not going to drain any of his hardcore support. That's obvious. His base is going to stick with him. There'll be a tremendous amount of money spent on his behalf, that is to say, to tear Mary Burke down. So all of that is a constant, and he's got a pretty rock-solid base. But there is that group of people that floats in the middle, and if they're paying attention, he may lose some of them. And if he loses enough of them, because the Democratic base is going to stay with Mary Burke, they'll stay with pretty much anybody with the D after their name to run against Scott Walker. He is a polarizing figure in the Democratic Party, certainly. And I think to a certain extent, the other poll is the Republican Party and the Republican Party base. But there are some other people in the state of Wisconsin, and they may be fed up. They're not that excited about Governor Walker. They're not excited either way. And I think they just might desert him. They're not that happy with his performance and the things that he's done. They're just not as unhappy as the Democrats. So we'll just have to see how it plays out. I wonder if any contemporary politician can stonewall all the way through something like this, you know, and still survive it politically. Maybe they can, but I'm not sure anymore.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. We're talking about the potential political fallout from the John Doe investigation emails that were released by an appeals court last week. Is there anything in there that could damage Governor Walker politically? Or do you agree with the governor that this is all old news and it's time to move on? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking with Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW Stevens Point, about the political significance of the newly released emails that linked Scott Walker's staff when he was Milwaukee County executive with his gubernatorial campaign. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jane emails, what might 27,000 pages of emails from Tom Barrett's city employees show us? Might any of them been doing campaign work on taxpayer time? Or as one of your callers suggested about Scott Walker, what would the emails from Tom Barrett's laptop show us? If anyone thinks that employees doing campaign work on company time is limited to one politician, they are living in fantasy land. What about that, Professor Riley?
Well, I don't know if it's exactly fantasy land, but it happens. Whether it happens as consistently as it happened in Walker's office during that particular run-up, I don't know. And I've not seen 27,000 pages of Tom Barrett's emails, and I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere during all of that somebody was using city time or a city computer to do the mixing of governing and campaigning and, you know, sometimes it's just really hard to draw that line.
But it is against the law, and Democratic lawmakers and Republican lawmakers, I think, have both gone to jail for doing it.
They've certainly got themselves in considerable amount of trouble.
Yeah, or related to that. Let's go to David in California. Hi, David.
Hey, greetings all. I was struck by the use of this phrase, that's old news.
Seems to me some of the biggest crimes in the history of politics and the world in some ways use that same excuse. So it's almost as if that's the red flag. And it's funny, when you use that expression, that's old news. I think when WMD got exposed, that was the excuse. Oh, that's old news. We knew that a long time ago. They really didn't exist. You know, the one thing I was interested in, though, is retracting bad law and bad contracts. So, for example, if you can show a tie between some of these campaign contributors in the last moments, people that are really, aware of dirty politics know that it's the final contributors are the ones that get the greatest amount of gravy, because they're the ones that, were there in the final pinch. And so if there are some unusual contracts, state bids that just showed up to some of these cronies, if there's a way of retracting them or not letting them go into effect until this thing is resolved.
Very briefly, Professor Riley, do you know if...
I really don't know what the law would be on that, pulling back on contracts. I really don't know.
Yeah. Saeed in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Saeed.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. I think to the extent that we talk about this, it is the extent that we're taking our eyes off the real business of our state. It is important to remember that our state had a budget that was a basket case before this governor did the brave work of balancing it. And so my wish is that, as a supporter of Scott Walker, my wish is for the rest of the campaign, the Democrats spend their time reading these 27,000 pages and keep talking about that. And my second wish is that Governor Walker does not get distracted by any of this and continues to spend his time taking care of the business of our state.
All right. Well, Professor Riley, Saeed supports the governor, thinks that the Democrats are maybe barking up the wrong tree by just pouring through these emails. What do you think?
Well, that's certainly what he said, and he may turn out to be right. You know, it's possible if there's nothing in there, it does seem to be something of a waste of time. But I think that the Democrats will do some of that nosing around, but the journalists will do a good bit of the nosing around and be taken more seriously if they find anything. So that there's always that. And clearly that's what the governor wants all of us to think, if at all humanly possible, that that's old, it's not important. What's important is what I've done for the state, and that's the campaign he's going to run come July or whenever he starts really gearing up. But simultaneously, the negative campaign against Mary Burke will be run more and more from the outside. That's something we see now everywhere. The really negative stuff is run by outsiders, not by parties and not by candidates, and they can wash their hands of it and try to run something else. They'll do a little bit of negative stuff, but not nearly as much as they might have done even a decade ago when outside groups couldn't do it all for them.
Professor Riley, do you think there's a difference that with the talk of Governor Walker potentially running for president in 2016, that he is not going to be given a free pass by the national press, that he is treated with kid gloves, some critics say, by the state press?
Well, I think that there's no question that there will be a different level of scrutiny. There always is a different level of scrutiny when you try to take yourself up to the level of a presidential campaign. And there are certainly going to be people who are going to wonder back to this and say, you know, if you put that staff together when you were a county executive and then you kind of had to get rid of some of it, what about your state staff? Is anybody in your house ready to run a presidential campaign? Or will you trip over your own feet the first 3 or 4 weeks out, a la Rick Perry? So we'll just have to see. I think he's going to get a lot more scrutiny if he really does make a serious run. But on the other hand, Chris Christie, who was a major roadblock to any Republican other than the very, very far right, doesn't appear to be nearly so formidable right now. So maybe there's a space for Scott Walker.
Mm-hmm. And thanks to Larry in Middleton, he says he recalls from a Wisconsin State Journal article that there were no laptops in Governor Walker's or County Executive Walker's office to subpoena, just to try to clarify
that.
Let's Let me share one last email. Actually, it was a Facebook comment. Governors should be defined not just by what they do or say, but who they surround themselves with, making sure to have the smartest people for a particular task or to head a specific agency. They should be judged on that basis and who they take advice from. Sounds like good advice, Carol writes. Guess who said it? Scott Walker. What about guilt, I don't know, guilt by association, judgment charges, Professor Riley?
Yeah, but that is a very serious thing when you're talking about somebody who is trying to take the next step up. That who do you surround yourself with? Are they capable? Are they relatively honest folks? I mean, everybody makes mistakes, but are they relatively honest folks? Are they the kind? I mean, it's hard to imagine surrounding yourself with the kind of people who would send an email containing some of that stuff, some of the things that were in some of those emails. Why? Why would anybody do that? I don't even know why they say it, but why would you ever let it be in something that has some kind of long-term existence? And so I don't understand that. But, I mean, yeah, you've got to be careful who you pick. And I think that's, in some respects, coming back to haunt Chris Christie, though there seems to be more evidence that he was at the center of it and that it was his style and somebody was just adopting it. Now, maybe that was what was happening to Scott Walker when he was county executive, that he set a kind of casual atmosphere for mixing politics and work. And
yeah, so
people picked up on it.
We'll have to leave it there as we are out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Joy.
Dennis Riley, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing these programs. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.